Very good evening to you all, and a big warm welcome to Forest Bowl this evening. If you're watching online, a big welcome to you as well. Now tonight the sermon is entitled Loyalty to the King, and will be based on a passage in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And of course, while that passage is not directly talking about Jesus, there will no doubt be references to our King Jesus. And with that in mind, I wanted to read a few verses from Psalm 95, which I'm pretty sure I've read several times at the start of a service, but it seems to really focus the mind on to whom we're coming and to whom we're worshipping tonight. So I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Well, we're going to turn our hearts to worship now and praise the God that I've just read about in our first song, after which Mark will come and give us a bit of background on the passage that we're reading. The character that we're hearing about tonight is probably a lesser known character, so Mark's going to give us a bit of background on that. But before he comes up, we're going to sing Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. And the chorus says, once again I thank you, once again I pour out my life. And as we think of loyalty to the King, and I suggest as we sing the songs that you have a think through the words as we sing them. If you're like me, enjoy singing and perhaps sometimes don't take in the depth of the words quite so much. But all the songs have been chosen with this theme in mind, and that the last verse of the chorus, once again I pour out my life, as we commit our loyalty to Jesus. So let's stand and sing our first song.
Tonight has its roots in the sad, tragic story of David, King David and Bathsheba. You may remember his affair with her and then the way he cunningly went about and tricked Uriah and ended up arranging his murder. And although God wonderfully forgave him for that, still there were serious and severe consequences for David and his family. This is what God says to David in 2 Samuel 12. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. And over the next few chapters after that, you see the sword and you see evil in David's house. It's pretty grim reading over those few chapters, and innocent lives are destroyed. And then we get to chapter 15, 2 Samuel chapter 15. That's where we're going to be spending our time this evening. And Absalom, David's own son, conspires against him. And Absalom would make a master politician. He knows how to get the votes in. He knows how to work a crowd. One of the first things he does is he gets a chariot and he gets 50 men to run in front of him. You know, he's getting himself noticed. He wants his name and his fame to spread throughout the city. Who's that? That's Absalom. And then he gets into the habit of getting up early in the morning. And what he does is he goes to the gate, because the gate is where people come to if they've got a dispute or a complaint, something that they need a judge to look at, something that they want to take to the king or at least a judge. And what he does is he stands there and he just gets chatting to people. Where are you from? And he finds out their complaint. And then he says, oh, you know, and as he's listening, you know, he's nodding sympathetically. You know, he's giving that kind of, you know, looking really concerned, like a great politician would. And then he says, you know, it's so unfortunate. You know, there's not someone assigned to you this morning, for, you know, from where you've come from, there's not someone assigned for you. It's so unfortunate. You know, if only I was a judge. If only I ruled this place, I could help you, you know, because your case is true and good. You've got a good complaint. You should win. There's just no one to hear you. If only I was judge, I'd bring you justice. And you can imagine how people feel about it. And he spreads dissatisfaction, but simultaneously he's also making himself a man of the people, the leader who cares. That's who he's sort of showing himself as. And this is what it says. It says, so Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. In other words, he deceives them. He's basically scamming them. He's pretending he cares. But after 4 years, his support grows strong. People believe him. They follow him. And it gets stronger and stronger. And it gets to the point where he's ready to declare himself as king. And it's at this point where his own father, David, decides that he has to flee. He has to run. And this is where we're going to join the story. Luke's going to read the passage for us in just a moment. But David's got to run because he doesn't want open warfare on the streets of Jerusalem. And what it means is that everyone in Jerusalem, every Israelite, has got to make this decision. Whose side are you on? Who are you going to be loyal to? You're going to be loyal to David, or you're going to be loyal to Absalom. And tonight we're going to zoom into a character that I don't expect many of us know much about, if anything, about. Ittai the Gittite. Ittai the Gittite. Probably didn't do much about him in Sunday school. You don't get like, you know, Noah's Ark and Daniel in the lion's den and Ittai the Gittite. So we don't hear much about him, but we encounter him tonight. And we're going to see how he answers that question. Who is he loyal to? And we're going to see what it teaches us about loyalty to the true king. So hopefully that gives a bit of a picture of what we're doing and a bit of the background. And Luke's now going to share the passage that we're going to be looking at this evening. So cheers, Luke.
Thank you, Mark. Well, I encourage you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to begin the reading at verse 13. And if you're following in a church Bible, you'll find that at the top of page 267. To Samuel chapter 15, beginning at verse 13. And a messenger came to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel have gone after Absalom. Then David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or else there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go quickly, lest he overtake us quickly and bring down ruin on us, and strike the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said to the king, behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king decides. So the king went out, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 concubines to keep at the house. And the king went out, and all the people after him. And they halted at the last house. And all his servants passed by him, and all the Cherethites and all the Pelethites and all the 600 Gittites who had followed him from Gath passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander about with us, since I go I know not where? Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you." But Ittai answered the king, "As the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go then, pass on." So Ittai the Gittai passed on with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. And all the land wept aloud as all the people passed by. And the king crossed the brook Kidron. And all the people passed on toward the wilderness. Well, we're going to leave the reading there. And that's the passage that Mark will preach to us from shortly. And we're going to continue our worship with another song. "From heaven you came, helpless babe." And again in the chorus, there's this whole theme of being loyal to the king. "This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king." Let's stand and sing. Pray together, so let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we bow ourselves before you tonight, Lord, we pray for your presence and your spirit. We pray, Lord, that you'll put us in the right frame of mind and heart as we approach your throne of grace. Lord, we pray that we will come into your presence with thanksgiving and help us, Lord, to make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us access to your throne of grace through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, tonight as we pray, we ask that we might know your presence and your blessing upon us. And as we worship your holy name together, we pray, Lord, that it might be done with a genuine heart and with real feeling and knowledge that you are the creator of this universe, the creator of our lives, and indeed our Saviour. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet. We thank you, Lord, for an open building. We thank you, Lord, for the assurance that we have that we will have no interruptions, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we don't suffer as many of your children in the world do. And so, Lord, we pray that we won't take this for granted, but it might be made a true blessing for us, and it might be a special evening as we gather around your word. Lord, as the weeks fly by, we feel like it's always the end of a weekend or the start of another new week. But we pray, Lord, that we won't just expect tomorrow to always come and for us to be here for another Sunday or another day when we might put our trust in you. I pray, Lord, that tonight might be the turning point for those who don't yet know you, to come to you, to acknowledge your goodness, to acknowledge your holiness, and to reach out to Jesus as their Saviour. And Lord, it's a reminder for each one of us, as every day that passes is another day closer to the day you've appointed for us to die. And Lord, it feels like a gloomy subject, but it's the truth, and we thank you, Lord, that you give assurance to your people that that will be a very good day. And Lord, we thank you that because of Jesus Christ, we can look forward to the day of when you call us home with great joy and assurance that that's exactly what will happen, that we will be home with you in your presence. Lord, sometimes we can be very guilty of treating this life like home, but we pray, Lord, that you will remind us that life is just a journey. And Lord, while we thank you for the blessings of that journey that we receive every single day, we thank you, Lord, that we have a city whose maker is God, and that's what we can look forward to. And I pray for everyone here tonight, everyone listening online, Lord, to this service, that they will know for themselves that you are their Saviour and there is a place for them in heaven. Lord, we thank you that you reach out to sinners like us. We thank you, Lord, that it is your desire to have people like us. And Lord, in our foolishness, we turn our back on you, on the one that made us. And Lord, we pray for forgiveness for that and every sin that we have ever committed. We thank you that the blood of Jesus is far more powerful than the depravity of our sin. The Lord, as we meet together then tonight, we pray, Lord, that for an open heart, an open mind, we pray, Lord, for listening ears, for a mind that will concentrate. We pray, Lord, that you will be the very focus of the whole service, that you will get all the glory and all the praise, for you deserve it. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you have made it possible for sinners to be saved, that your word is still alive and active and ready to work in the lives of the people on this earth. We thank you, Lord, for your continued love and faithfulness, even though, Lord, you put up with so much disobedience and dishonour from us. Yet, Lord, you are so faithful every day. Lord, every day we have a day full of blessings, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for the teaching and the preaching of today that have happened here and indeed around the whole world. We thank you, Lord, that your word is still going out faithfully, and we pray, Lord, that we will see the fulfilment of the promise that you made, that it won't return to you empty. And Lord, we pray that we will see that working out of your word that has come from heaven. And so, Lord, as we think of all the blessings in our lives, Lord, we want to thank you for the safe arrival of a couple of new children to relatives of us here at Forest Fold. Lord, we thank you for baby Lottie and baby Tom, who have been added to the families of people here. And we thank you, Lord, for them, for their safe arrival. We pray, Lord, that they will grow up to be children of God, more importantly. And Lord, we thank you for that and for every blessing, Lord, that we're receiving day to day, Lord, for the beds that we lie in, for the food in the fridge, for the schools that we go to, the roofs over our head. Lord, truly you are so good to us, better than we ever deserve. And Lord, we pray that we might have that love and loyalty to you, that Ittai the Gittite showed to David, that Lord, we might have such a commitment and love to you that nothing can take us away from you. Lord, we pray that we might spend our time, our lives being poured out before you. For Lord, it feels like the very least we could do. Lord, you don't demand payment from us, but Lord, we are so thankful for your amazing grace. And may our lives be a symbol of our thankfulness and love to you. So Lord, as we come together now, we pray, Lord, that we will be blessed in this word. We pray for Mark as he preaches, that he will be able to be blessed in his own soul, Lord, and that through his speaking, your voice will be heard loud and clear. And Lord, we pray that as we go through the week ahead, with all the challenges that we may face, we ask, Lord, that we will be able to comfort ourselves with your word and the promises that you have made, that we won't be alone, that your grace is sufficient for us. And Lord, we bless you and we praise you for that. And so often we can get so bogged down in our own in self-pity and Lord, we can get bogged down with all the busyness of our lives. Lord, you know that we try and cram so much into our lives, but we thank you so much that you are patient with us, that Lord, you love us, and that you will give us all the strength that we need. So Father, help us to rely on you. May our whole lives be a dedication to you. And Lord, as we come together and acknowledge that tonight, I pray, Lord, that we will be of one heart, one voice, that Lord, we might be that each of us here, Lord, we live different lives, we have different interests, we do different things, but Lord, I pray that you will unite us in your love, that we will be bound up together and be able to praise you for who you are and what you've done for each of us. So Lord, be glorified, we pray, and bless our time together this evening, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we hear a bit more about Ittai the Gittite, we're going to sing another song, Jesus I Have Promised. And again, this hymn is just full of this theme of loyalty to the King. And I'll just pick out, it's the very first verse. Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be now and ever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if you are by my side, nor wander from the pathway if you will be my guide. Let's stand and sing.
So we're in 2 Samuel 15 and thinking about loyalty to the king. Loyalty to the king. David's on the run from his own son, Absalom. Firstly, we're going to think about loyalty that recognises the true king. Loyalty that recognises the true king. See, who is the king? That's one of the key questions that everyone is sort of battling with right now. Everyone's trying to deal with at the moment. Who is the king? Verse 19 is quite interesting. It says, "Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, 'Why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king.'" The writer of 2 Samuel clearly believes that David is the king. He calls him the king. Earlier in 2 Samuel, he often refers to him as David, and occasionally in 2 Samuel 15, he calls him David. But in 2 Samuel 15, he keeps calling him the king. It's like he's really trying to make a point. The king, the king, the king. But David refers to Absalom as the king. He's the one with the power now. He's the one that's taken over Jerusalem. So David says to Ittai, "Go back and be with the king." But Ittai is having none of it. This is what he says. "As the Lord lives, and as my Lord the King lives, wherever my Lord the King shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be." See, David doesn't look like much of a king at this point. He's at the very last house on the outskirts of Jerusalem making a run for it. And he's got quite a few supporters, and they're all kind of filing past him, and he's watching them file past. So he's got those supporters, but this isn't the sort of the mighty, glorious David that we've seen in chapters past. This is sad, heartbroken David. But Ittai recognises that despite appearances, David is the true king. We don't know a huge amount about Ittai. We know he comes from Gath. He was a Philistine. Gath, you may remember, is the place where Goliath came from. And if you know your Bibles well, you may remember that David spent some time in Gath when he was on the run, because he's been on the run before. When he was on the run from Saul, he went and stayed in Gath for a bit. So it's possible that some of these Philistines sort of got to know him a little bit then. But Ittai has only just joined up with David. He hasn't been with him long at all. In fact, in verse 20, David says, "You only came yesterday." Now, that doesn't necessarily mean sort of 24 hours ago, but it does mean very, very recently. So Ittai has only just joined up with David to follow him. And yet, despite not really spending much time with him, despite being a foreigner, he recognises that David is the true king, and he chooses to follow him. Now, approximately 1,000 years later, another king was born. He didn't look much like a king either. He wasn't born in a palace. In fact, when he was born, they couldn't even find a hotel for him to stay in. So they had to sort of find this animal trough and put him in that. And despite teaching that left people astonished, and despite miracles that people just couldn't stop talking about, the people that lived around him were like, "That's just Jesus. He's the carpenter. His mum and dad are Mary and Joseph. He's nothing special." You know, he didn't have an army. He didn't dress in purple. He didn't sit on a throne. But remember what the angel says to Mary in Luke chapter 1? "Mary, you will have a son and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And then, do you remember when Jesus is hauled before Pontius Pilate? And what's the big question that's going on? "Are you a king?" And Jesus simply says, "My kingdom is not of this world." As you read the Gospels, the historical accounts of Jesus, you're forced to come to this, to grapple with this question: who is Jesus? The identity of Jesus is one of the big questions that you have to really grapple with. And Jesus doesn't just want it to be sort of an interesting topic that we think about. He says to his disciples, who do you think that I am? This is important. And it's a question that's put to us today. Who do you think that Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? You know, it's massively worth thinking about that, because your answer to that question massively impacts your whole life. You know, I want to say to you tonight, Jesus might not look like much as we look around the world today. He might seem weak. He might not look like a king in much of the world's eyes. But you know, you read this and you see Jesus, the true king. Jesus, the true king. Ittai is loyal to the true king. He recognizes the true king. But secondly, we see that he is loyal whatever the consequences. He's loyal whatever the consequences. Ittai says, as the Lord lives and as my Lord the King lives, wherever my Lord the King shall be, whether for life or for death or for life, there also will your servant be. Ittai says, wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. And if it leads to your death, I'm going to follow you there too. I may remind some of you of the loyalty that Ruth shows to Naomi in Ruth chapter 1. It's an incredible declaration of loyalty. And I think it's all the more incredible with what David has just offered him. So this is what David has just said to him. David said to him, look, why are you coming with us? He says, go back and stay with the king. Look, you're a foreigner. You're already in exile from your own land. You only came yesterday. Should I make you wander about with us? David's like, I don't even know where I'm going. Well, why are you joining us? You've only just joined us. You're going to be in exile from being in exile. Go back, take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you. He even gives God's blessing to him. He says, look, you don't need to come and suffer with me. You don't owe me anything. Go back to Jerusalem, have an easier life, and even have God's blessing on you. But Ittai is not persuaded. You know, there's a really striking contrast here between Absalom, who's David's loved son, who's conspiring to kill him, and Ittai, who's this foreigner that has just turned up, that is willing to give his life for David. As the Lord lives and as my Lord the King lives, wherever my Lord the King shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be. It's incredible loyalty. And it's the same sort of loyalty, actually, that Paul displays in Philippians 1, verse 20. Do you remember Paul's in prison? And the reason he's in prison is because he's following Jesus the King. He doesn't know what the future holds, but this is what he says. He says, it's my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul says, I'm going to follow Jesus. Christ will be honoured in my body, whether that means life or death. And Paul isn't using hyperbole here. He does give his whole life to Jesus. And maybe you sort of look at that and you go, Paul's a bit extreme. He was a bit overzealous maybe. You know, but if we are to follow the true king, it does mean following where he went. Interestingly, Ittai followed David. Did you see where David went, the first few steps he took as he went past that last house? Where did he go? It says he crosses the brook Kidron. Some of you might recognise that. Then a few verses later on that we didn't read, it says he climbs the Mount of Olives and he and everyone else is weeping. Who else makes that journey? Who else makes that journey out of Jerusalem, over the brook Kidron and up the Mount of Olives? Jesus does. 1,000 years later. But Jesus is not there as a consequence of his own sins like David was. Jesus is there because he's going to take on the sins of the world and their consequences. In Mark 8, Jesus had begun to teach the disciples that he must suffer. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he calls everyone together and he says, look, if anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now this evening, very evidently, we are not all filing past King David. We don't have to make that choice between King David or Absalom. That's not the choice that we're faced with tonight. But we do have to choose whether we follow Jesus or not. That's the decision that we're left with this evening. Do we stick with the easy life? The life where something else is king in our life? Maybe we're king or queen in our life. The sort of life that promises ease and comfort. Or do we follow Jesus, who says, if you follow me, be prepared to suffer, even be prepared to die for me. Now, for some people, it's too much. Remember the story of the rich young ruler? Jesus said, give away all your money, and he didn't. It was too much for him. He went away sad. He couldn't give all that up. Do you remember Peter? He swore that he would die for Jesus. Oh, go with you even to death, Jesus. But then what happens? The reality of the situation hits him as Jesus is going to the cross. And he runs away terrified. But then what happens after that? A few days later, Peter meets the risen Jesus, the one who has conquered death, the one who is alive again. And he sees more clearly than ever that Jesus is the true king. And then Peter did follow him to death. But before he died, he wrote a letter. And he wrote a letter to persecuted, suffering Christians scattered around Asia Minor. And what does he call them? How does he refer to them? Right at the beginning of his letter, he calls them exiles. And some of them were literal exiles from their homes. They'd been forced to flee because of persecution. It had gotten so bad they just had to go. So they're exiles from their homes. But Peter's making an even bigger point here. He's saying, look, as Christians, you are exiles on earth. This isn't your home. This isn't where you belong. Your kingdom, your citizenship, is in the kingdom of God. It's above. That's where you belong. And if we follow Jesus today, if we call ourselves Christians, then that is true for us. We are exiles in this world, the Bible says. We don't belong here. This isn't where we live. Our citizenship is above. It's in heaven. And just as Ittai followed David as he went into exile, so we are called to follow Jesus. We no longer belong here. The kingdom we belong to is above. But what does that mean? What does that mean in practice? Well, it means we're to be different to the people around us. It means that we're to choose to follow Jesus when most people don't. When it looks like he's the lost cause. It means that we will face some level of persecution and suffering if we truly follow him. Because Jesus did. Following Jesus as king may mean that we spend our time with and care for the sorts of people that no one else wants to spend time with, because that's what Jesus did. Following Jesus as king may mean that you don't spend all of your money on your hobbies or your house, but rather you give some of your money and some of your time to Jesus because he is your king. Following Jesus as king may mean that you're branded as a narrow-minded, intolerant, religious bigot, oppressor even, because you try and explain that you can't fully celebrate and affirm everything in the new diversity policy at work, even though you dearly love everyone there. Following Jesus as king may mean that you don't watch that latest TV show or the show that's on Netflix or whatever it is that everyone's talking about, but you know it's not good, but you don't watch it even though you have a real sense of missing out. And people are shocked that you don't watch it. But you don't do it because Jesus is your king. You don't join in the office moan about the manager, even though you feel like you could do with a really good grumble and it would just make you feel better. But you don't do it because Jesus is your king. Even though you're single and you face a really strong sense of same-sex attraction, you don't act on it, but rather you seek to give yourself to Jesus. And you seek to serve him in whatever area of service he's got planned for you. Because you want to honour him as king. We might face some really slightly nerve-wracking and slightly awkward conversations with people where we tell people about what Jesus the King has done for us in our life and actually why they should follow Jesus the King too. And maybe that's difficult, but we do it because Jesus is the King. We've been thinking recently in some countries that they are literally killed and tortured simply because they follow Jesus as their king. Well, maybe you can think of more examples. Those are just a few to get you thinking. Maybe you can think about your own life. If you're a Christian, how can you follow Jesus as your king? How can you be different? How can you be in exile? Ittai was prepared to follow King David. Whatever the consequences were, he was prepared to follow him. Paul was prepared to follow Jesus. Whatever the consequences were, he was prepared to follow Jesus, whether life or death. And Jesus says to us, follow me. Jesus says, follow me. But then thirdly and lastly, loyalty that is rewarded. Loyalty that is rewarded. Well, Ittai gives his life to David, but does he make the right choice? Because he could have given his life to Absalom. And potentially things could have been so much easier. Absalom promised so much, didn't he? A new kingdom that would give justice to all, where everyone would be happy. Everyone would be heard, listened to. What a wonderful, glorious new regime that Absalom would head up. This is what he promised. He promised so much, but it's quite easy, isn't it, to make bold statements. It's a completely different thing to back them up. I guess a good number of us saw in the news this week the Willy Wonka chocolate experience. Did many of you see that? A few of you grinning. I genuinely cringe thinking about it. It's horrendous. But this is just some of the marketing for it. So it was up in Glasgow, for anyone that doesn't know. It was up in Glasgow. And this was kind of on the website. There was loads on there, but I just took a little bit. It says this, a place where chocolate dreams become reality. Book your adventure now and embark on a journey filled with wondrous creations and enchanting surprises at every turn. Sounds pretty exciting, doesn't it? One of the areas that they were going to have there was called the Imagination Lab. This was the artwork. Pretty dramatic, pretty exciting. All done by AI, I think. Listen to this. In the Imagination Lab, prepare to be captivated by a visual spectacle. Encounter mind-expanding projections, optical marvels, and exhibits that transport you into the realm of creativity. This space invites you on a surreal journey where the boundaries between reality and fantasy harmoniously merge, resulting in an enchanting and visually striking encounter. Brace yourself for an adventure that will leave you spellbound. Well, it sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? But some of you have seen the pictures. I've just got a couple. £35 tickets cost. They ended up calling the police because it was such a scam. But posters, there was a tiny little bouncy castle in one place. There's more pictures. Basically, it was just a warehouse with a few posters and a few props dotted around. The saddest thing, or one of the saddest things, is there wasn't any chocolate there. And the kids got, I think they got two jelly beans and half a glass of lemonade, or quarter of a glass of lemonade. Now, but it's easy, isn't it, to make these wonderful claims that actually don't satisfy. Lots of children were crying, understandably. But you see, it promised so much, and it delivered so, so little. And Absalom made these wonderful claims, but he was never actually going to be able to deliver the dream that he had promised. And actually, it's not long before Absalom faces David in battle, and he ends up fleeing himself, and he's on his mule, and he's going through some woodland, and he gets his long hair caught in an oak tree, and he ends up being killed there. And David returns as the rightful king of Jerusalem. He's devastated by grief, but nevertheless, he returns as the rightful king. And meanwhile, we see in all of that, as all that's happening, we see that Ittai, he gets another mention. And he has become one of the three leaders of David's army. So it's a pretty big honour that David bestows on him as one of the three leaders of his army. We don't know anything more about Ittai. He simply disappears back into the pages of history. But he chose the true king, and he received the honour and the reward and victory that went along with that. You know, there's so many things in this world that offer us so much, that promise us so much. So many things promise us that slice of happiness that will keep us content forever. Or, you know, it tells us we'll get success that will make us more attractive or more likeable to other people. Those products that, you know, it might be something to do with hair or whatever, and it promises that it's going to solve all our problems in life. And so quickly we believe these sorts of things, and there's so much around us that we chase because the promises that it makes are amazing. We thought a little bit this morning about idols, how we chase idols because they promise us they'll fill that kind of hole in our life that we want filled. So often they leave us so empty. I've been thinking about Moses in the mornings as we go through Exodus. This is a decision he made. We read about this in Hebrews. He chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. See that? Moses chooses to be mistreated for a little while because he looked to the reward. Paul understood this as well. He gave his life because he understood that his life in reality was short and he was looking to the rewards. He suffered so much. This is what he says in Hebrews 4. Sorry, this is what he says in Hebrews 4. It says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Sorry, is that Hebrews 4? That's not, is it? But anyway, 2 Timothy 4. That's why I'm confused, sorry. But do you notice what he said? Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. See, when you follow the true king, you receive a crown of righteousness. You're made like the king himself. And then this is what we read in James 1 verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." See, when you are loyal to Jesus, the true king, through suffering, you receive from him the crown of life, true eternal life that only God can give. When we follow Jesus, when we suffer with him, he gives us the crown of righteousness and the crown of life. There is no greater reward that you can receive. So I just want to encourage you, just to finish. Jesus is the true king, even though he may not look like it. We're called to follow him, whatever the consequences. And if we follow him, we will receive the greatest reward we could ever imagine. Well, we're going to sing a song, and this song asks, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers, other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for him will go? And remember that it's only by his mercy that we can be on his side. But it's a question for us to think through as we sing. Are we on the Lord's side? So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. For the transformation in Peter, that when he saw the risen Jesus, he delighted in following him even to death. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would see you as you truly are, Lord, the risen King Jesus. Lord, many around us do not know you, but Lord, I pray that we would follow you whatever the consequences. Lord, I thank you that you went to the cross so that by your grace, Lord, we could receive crowns of righteousness and crowns of life. And Lord, I pray that that would motivate us. Lord, that we would see the shortness of life. And Lord, that we would chase the reward of being with Christ, which is far better. Lord, forgive us for where we have failed so miserably. Help us to encourage each other as we seek to follow you, for we need to encourage each other. And Lord, I pray that you bless us as we go away, Lord, in our different directions, to different homes, different situations. Lord, be with us, keep us safe, and bring us back safely together again, I pray, in your name. Amen.